flat to dawn, with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Yes, sir. We're another week closer to the always dreaded, but always loved, boondoggle. And looking forward to it as always. My son has a message for everybody. Say it.
Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio.
There you go. He's been wanting to do that for a while, so we just went ahead and let him do it because it's my show. I said so. No, but anyhow, welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Looking forward to tonight's show. I've got a very special guest, I think, is on the line already. One Mr. Rodney Smith. We'll get to Mr. Rodney Smith in just a minute. So hang in there for me, buddy. A couple things I want to get to real quick. Had a great meeting at Kayaks by Bow for Space Coast Kayak Anglers this past Saturday. Good turnout. I think we had about 25 people there or so. Good to see some new faces. Good to see familiar faces. Good to put faces with names and such. Looking forward to this group a lot in years to come. I think that we've done a pretty good job of pulling some really good people together to get involved with Space Coast Kayak Anglers. And like I say, just looking forward to it. What else is going down? This Saturday coming up, we have our demo day in Kayaks by Bow. If you guys want to come on out and demo any new boats, we've got a pretty good list to run through real quick. We're going to have the Jackson Kayaks will be there. We'll have some Diablos there. We'll have some Natives there. We'll have a new canoe there. We'll have the Hobies will be there. We'll have Wilderness Systems there. Pretty much everything we carry at Kayaks by Bow we'll have there. On the other side of Max Brewer Bridge in Titusville, for any of you guys that are local listening to the show, whether it be by way of podcast or live show or on our new fancy app, you can get off the iTunes account or also on any Google product in your app store. It's a free app. Download it. It's pretty cool. But so that'll be fun. That's going to be from 10 o'clock till 2-ish until we run through everybody and everyone hasn't had an opportunity to paddle around or pedal around the boat of their liking. And then if you'd like to head on over to the store will be open till 6 p.m. and we're still running special. If you get into Kayaks by Bow between now and the 31st of this month and you buy yourself a new kayak, you will receive a $100 gift card for the shop to be used on accessories, including paddles, PFDs, fishing lures, whatever you need. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Good event. We've got some local pro staffers and some world-renowned experts in the field, like Mr. Turtle. Mr. Turtle will be there. That's pretty cool, pretty exciting. had to go there. Pepe will be there on hand. For those of you who don't know Pepe, it'll be that's Jose Vidal. He's the local Diablo Kayaks pro staffer. So I know he'll have a bunch of his he'll have a bunch of his boats out there too. So looking forward to that. And yeah, it should be a good time had by all. But feel free to stop by and say hello. Even if you don't want to try out boats, you already have boats or whatever. If you're heading out to the lagoon or coming back from the lagoon, stop by and say what's up. But let me go to the phone lines real quick. I got they're all lit up, so I got Mr. Rob Bad Backass DeVore joining me. What's going on, buddy?
Yo, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I got a text from you earlier telling me you got a pretty good fishing report for me. What's going down?
Yeah. And again, pardon my voice, man. I'm down with the sickness there. But anyway, yeah, I went out yesterday with Steve Dittman, and we had a pretty good day. He called me up and said, hey, man, there's been a good trout bite going on around Tarpon Key. So we headed out there, and it was good. DOA shrimps and that gooey gel stuff that CA uses all the time. What do you call it? Procure. Gold glitter was the color, and it was one right after another, after another, after another. Now, you have to take into consideration, and what I'm about to tell you, you're going to laugh, but what's funny is we got a couple of nice ones, you know, in the 19-inch range, you know, 20-inch range, but probably about 1,000 of them were 14 3/4. Now, what's so funny about that? When you get it on a dink trout run, man, they're usually about 10 inches. Usually.
Right.
And so I thought it was pretty cool myself that here you're catching almost keepers. I mean, one right after another. Hey, I'm not kidding you. They were all literally 14 3/4. So by springtime, those bad boys will be keeper guys. So I thought that was pretty funny. Caught a couple of flounder, and again another beastly ladyfish.
Yeah.
So on the top water. It was fun, and we just kind of hung out there and waded around on the slat and had a good time, man. I was tired when I got done. Between fighting the cold and not being out, you know, for fighting my sickness and not being out for a while, I was pretty tired when I got back in.
Right on. Well, hey, man, at least you got to get out, man. I hope you're feeling better soon. I know that this thing's been whooping you pretty good.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad, man. But hopefully I'll get all cleared up by boondoggle time, man. But that was the pattern yesterday, man. It's really weird, Chuck. When you go out fishing, I don't know whether to be what kind of pattern, you know. The calendar says January, but it feels like, March and April. So I don't know where to start fishing, man. I don't know if you should start in a wintertime spot or if you should be starting on a some sort of a springtime pattern or what, man. But yesterday was definitely kind of a springtime pattern, so it was weird.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting here, too, on the East Coast, and especially in the Mosquito Lagoon. We found a ton of fish the other day, and most of which wouldn't bite for nothing, at least for me. Alan did not seem to have a problem, which is uncharacteristic of Alan. No, I'm just kidding. God, I'm owning it.
Oh, man.
But Wade broke off, which, you know, everybody, I'm sure, from here to PB land has heard about so far. But, no, we found a bunch of fish, man, a lot of fish. It was crazy. Even Chris Flores and I were just laughing about the numbers of redfish that were cruising between me and him. There must have been 5 or 6 groups that were literally just bouncing back and forth between me and him. And I don't know how many fish were in those groups, man, but it was a little frustrating, to say the least. Lead them a good
We saw some redfish out there, Chuck, yesterday, and in about a foot of water, and it looked like these things looked like bowling balls making wakes through the water, dude. It was crazy. And it was a new spot for me, but Steve is pretty familiar with it, and he was showing me all sorts of stuff about, you know, this is a cool stuff. I love this area, man. Tarpon Key is just, that was just fantastic out there. It really reminded me of your neck of the woods over there a little bit.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, the weather here has definitely been awkward, just like over there. I mean, we were cold, and then old Bill needs, somebody needs to tell old Bill there in the chat room real quick as I lose concentration. He needs to refresh because he's listening to the Chips show from last week. We need to figure it out what's going on with these fish because it's definitely gotten weird. The water temperature got really, really not cold but cool over the couple of cold snaps, and then all of a sudden we've been hit with 80-degree temperatures a couple of days in a row, and I think that kind of messed some of the fish up a little bit because I got turned down more than I think I ever have as far as throwing into schools of fish, and it wasn't for bad casting or nothing like that. I mean, I put a good cast on all those groups, and it's just they just didn't want nothing to do with it. So I think they're a little bit confused as well. We had quite a few folks that I talked to that fished the same day, not in our group, but in different groups all up and down the coast that said the same thing. So I don't know. You know, we were able to all pull off fish. There was, I think, five of us in a group, and all of us caught fish. Me and Chris caught the least amount of fish. I caught three reds and two trout, and Chris caught, I think, five reds and a trout or something like that. But it was good. We had a great time. It's always fun fishing with your buddies, man. The really funny thing about it is ragging on each other as bad as we did, and the fact that, you got guys that fish with us like Wade, and Wade's a super nice guy, but sometimes he tells you the same story like five times in your fishing trip, so about how he got broke off by the big one. he's not immune to the rant that he'll get here on the show tonight. It'll just take a little while for me to gig him, but no, it's all good. We had a great time, like I said, and it was was cool too is the next day, Sunday, or yesterday, I didn't get a chance to fish, but I had a fantastic day with the family. We went out to play Linda Beach out in the wildlife refuge, North Maryland there, and man, it was a really good day. It was beautiful outside, and we had just a good time, and we fed a bunch of seagulls some bread and just kind of like hung out, did the family thing. Well, I drove out to Cars Park with the kids because I wanted them to just have an opportunity to play on the playground that's out there and stuff like that. Since Chip was so kind as to let me get his guest pass for Cars, I'd definitely take advantage of it. So, and Steve Gibson drove all the way over from Sarasota. That's Steve Gibson of Shallow Pockets, and man, it was cool. We had a lot of fun while we were out there. But Steve caught, I think it was a 43-inch redfish on cut bait up in the no motor zone. So yeah, fish are still there. So it's looking pretty good. it's that time of year, man, where hopefully the weather will start cooling down for us again, and we'll get those big black drum pushed into the no motor zone, and the big trout are already there, and so are the reds. It's just a matter of getting the black drum to show up, but we need that cold water for that. But I'm glad you got out.
Yeah, man.
What did you catch the majority of your fish on?
Well, I was throwing everything: soft plastic, suspending baits, Paul Brown baits, top waters, you name it. And Steve kind of found the pattern, man: a gold glitter DOA shrimp, with some Procure on it, and that was the ticket. And you didn't even have to do anything to it. You just casted it out there. We found him on a drop-off. And it was this big, long, huge, basically a drop-off along a channel. And that was it. You just threw it into the current, and the current kind of drug it down. You didn't have to pop it. You didn't have to twitch it, nothing. Just threw it out there and count to about 10. And it was fish on. It was cool.
Nice.
Caught some flounder too, man. I was telling Steve, I'm like, my buddy Chuck, if that flounder's a keeper, it's dying. And we we got, yeah, I got a couple of flounders, same way, too.
That's funny. Well, good job, man. I'm glad you got a chance to get out there and get on some fish. But I'm going to run real quick so I can get to Rodney Smith, the guest
yeah,
for the night.
Before, man.
Feel free to hang in, man. Listen, it's going to be
yeah.
a good conversation, I'm sure, of it. Rodney's...
I'll be listening, but I'm getting out, and I'll just be in the chat room.
Cool. No worries. Thanks, man. Appreciate the report. Hey, Rob, real quick, before you go.
Go.
If anybody wants to watch any of your videos or submit any videos to you, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you need to like our Yaktastic Adventures page on Facebook, and if you don't look, we're up to over 100 likes, and when we hit 200 likes, we're gonna give away a camera. We're gonna figure out something and you know, pick a number or something. I don't know. We'll think of something creative, but we're gonna give away some sort of a camera, GoPro or Swan or something like that. So if you don't like our page yet, jump on our Facebook and look up Yaktastic Adventures. Give us a like, and that's it, man. If you want to submit a video or something, get a hold of me at yaktasticadventures@gmail.com.
Very cool. Awesome, brother. I appreciate it, man.
No problem, man. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Take it easy. I'm going to hit this button. I'm going to go right to you, Robbie. Hang on one sec.
Boondoggle. Hey. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, my next guest joining me. Most of you have probably read a copy of one of the magazines in which he created, he started the craze that is the probably one of my favorite publications to pick up, Coastal Angler Magazine. If you guys have a Coastal Angler Magazine in your local tackle shop, that is a free publication to pick up. You can thank this gentleman for starting that. He's also a lifetime and longtime outdoors photojournalist. He's written books like Enjoying the Life on the Indian River Coast and Indian River Lagoon Coast, Catching Made Easy Maps. He's created some surf maps called Catching Made Easy Maps, giving you kind of points of where to go and fish, what to look for, what to target, that kind of thing. He's the acting executive director of Anglers for Conservation. He's also an advisory panel board member of the South Atlantic Marine Fisheries, and a really good friend of mine, Mr. Rodney Smith. How are you, buddy?
Boy, you know, Chuck, hey, it's Happy New Year, you know?
How's Happy New Year
2013's fresh, man, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's been an awesome year. I mean, it's hard to believe we've been steady 15 degrees above normal. Light winds, blue skies, you can do so many things and here along this this Florida's great East Coast. And so it's been busy. How about yourself?
It's been good, man. It's been good just cranking up, getting ready for our big boondoggle coming up to the Space Coast here next week. Goodness gracious. Not that fast. Next month, February 15th through the 18th there at Cars Park, man, we've got probably pretty close to 300 kayakers coming in Florida from all over the country to join us and just have a good time.
Oh, that's just awesome. I'm happy for you. And it's a lot of hard work when you do those kind of things, and you can just be thankful that we've got some of the best waters in the world to go fishing and with a kayak here in Florida, on Florida Space Coast. So that's really good, Chuck. I'm glad to hear that. I appreciated all the accolades, you know, but it's usually it's a team and of people that have gotten the job done with Coastal Angler Magazine over the last 15, 20 years, and not 20 yet, but it feels like it sometimes. But, you know, my wife and Karen and I were the co-founders of the Coastal Angler, and we had many mentors and friends, you and so many other businesses and supporters over the years. And it's you know, we kept it free, and we tried to keep it local, and it's relevant, and it made it through some of the more tough economical times, and there's a lot of great publications out there, but I appreciated the accolades. But it just tells me, I gotta focus on one thing. I'm doing too many different things, so.
Yeah, you're definitely all over the place, my friend. But it's all right.
Yeah.
Definitely need somebody like you to spearhead some of these endeavors that it seems like we're going to have to get into in the next couple of months with some of the things that are going on, including the Florida space rocket facility they're talking about doing up there just north of Holover.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges out there, and if you want to get close to the fire in Florida, which I really don't consider myself close to the fire, but you know, if you want to get involved, Florida is a great place. It's ground zero when it comes to, you know, because we've done a great job, let me tell you. I mean, let's stay positive. We've done a great job of protecting a lot of land in Florida. And, you know, so we're really blessed. And different pieces of land are protected in different ways. And that's can be good, and that can be bad. In this case, when you look at the Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge and the legislation that got it to be where it is and all the political, just saying that word is enough. I don't even have to describe, but bureaucracy would be the word. When you look at that and you listen to everything, and you, the bottom line for me and most people, a lot of people can't accept this myself, is there's a lot of land that's still available that's already been developed in Florida, because Florida's always been about putting dirt on the swamp and selling somebody a piece of land, you know. But I don't see any reason why they have to have a new facility up there. They've got land that's already been, you know, there's got runways that are sitting up there that'll be ready to use, and I don't know. But that's a whole different topic. You know, what we should be talking about is where's the fishing best and where can you have the most fun in the next couple of days? And I tell you, there's a lot of choices. There's water temps along everything south of the Cape Canaveral. Yeah, that big bump on Florida's east coast, right? You know, the most special bump on Florida's east coast. It's you know, it's above 70 degrees, and yeah, I'm on the beach. I just got out of the surf. It was like 2 to 3 feet, so there's a nice little groundswell. But you could, if you go to the right place, you could go out there, paddle right out into the ocean. I'm not saying go do that now, but the calm at 2 to 3 foot by Wednesday, Thursday, and there's a lot of sargassum out there. You can get out there in your kayak and catch a cobia, a triple tail, you know, see a whale. I mean, the whales are right offshore. There's been, you know, for the last month, there's been a lot of bait on just pelicans, bait, marine birds, all along our coast. I guess you're probably getting these reports already.
And, yeah, I've seen, I was just up at Play Linda on yesterday, and something that I haven't seen in a long, long time since my days in Long Island, where there were two older gentlemen there, both of them fishing with Van Stalls on custom popper rods, and they're hurling giant plugs. I mean, plugs that, for me,
right. That
they're going to do one of two things. You're either going to catch a giant Jack Crevel on it, or you're going to catch, well, up north, you catch big blue fish with big stripers on it. And
they were
wearing out the cocktail blues, as I like to call them, one after another. There was bait, like you said, there was bait everywhere. It was awesome.
Yeah, it is good. So take advantage of it, because you know it'll come back. Winter will come back, but you know you don't need a wetsuit to go surfing. And when it's like that this time of year, and you see that little gold grass coming in, that floating pelagic habitat, sargassum. You can almost bet the cobia and triple tail are really close by, and the word is they're out there. I think, you know, the biggest triple tail I personally ever caught on a fly rod. It was 19 pounds I caught in January outside Sebastian Inlet. And unfortunately, I wasn't in a kayak. That would have only really added to a spectacular, you know, it would have made. So have you been out paddling lately?
I have. I haven't been out on the ocean, but I want to try and take advantage of this, as you say, the influx of golden delights that keep floating in onto the beach. But I've been fishing quite a bit up in the Mosquito Lagoon area, and then also in the No Motor Zone the last couple of weeks, and we've been doing really well. I mean, the lagoon has been just absolutely on fire. We've been finding schools of reds pushing around, single reds pushing around. I mean, Rodney, I saw tail and redfish on Saturday at 1:00 in the afternoon. So, I mean, it's been good. It's been really good. Catching quite a few fish. I'm hoping that it stays this way. And as far as the bite is concerned, and, you know, we keep having a good early winter. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all, to be honest with you, if we had quite a mild winter. I know the snook could definitely use it.
Well, those things aren't within our circle of influence. They might be within our concern, but, you know, yeah, winter will come back, and we'll get into different patterns. I mean, that's a great thing about being in the outdoors and experiencing the outdoors. It's all about patterns. It is cyclical. It's not linear, and it's you know, it's zoom right now that's right on the horizon, dropping into the west. It's a sliver of a crescent. It's holding water. It's a lot of activity right now. I can feel it. The fish feel it. I hope. Now, tell me a little bit about your radio show. How long you've been doing it now? And let me turn the interview away around. But how long have you been doing it? How's that work? How long? Now I know it's been over a year now.
This is pretty cool. I've never been interviewed on my own show. This is the
well,
show's
just answer the question now.
I got you. The show's been going on for I think my show's been going on for about a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer than that. It's grown in popularity.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much, not just my show, but all of our shows. We actually have 4 shows total, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. My show is obviously tonight. Tuesday night is the Double L show that we have that's done up in Virginia Beach by the Loziers, Mark and Chris. And then Wednesday night we have a show done by Mark Wheeler, who's also in Virginia Beach. And then Thursday night is who we call our godfather, so to speak, the tree hugger himself, Mr. Chip Gibson, who is the founder of Kayak Fishing Radio. His show is Thursday. But we've gone from, in the last few years, from 15,000, maybe 20,000 downloads of the podcast and live listeners to now this year we almost popped 100,000. So it's definitely grown quite a bit. Our reach is a lot further than I think it's ever been just by social media standards. We've been able to reach out and really kind of get a lot of listener base from all over the world, really. So, you know, every now and again we get an email or somebody will get an email from somebody in, like, England or whatever like that, and they definitely will kind of thank us for what we do. And, you know, it's unique because I think we're one of the only...
Oh, hey, now, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm interviewing you, and I'm still, I mean, gosh, I never knew you were going to go on this long about the show. I only asked you how long it's been. This is the thing about the radio, guys. You get these guys on your show. If it's my show or your show, I'm trying to figure this out. But
It's the Rodney show right now. Go ahead.
No, man, it takes a team. I know you have probably some people... you know, that you've already met there, and it's a very interesting concept. I find at least interesting. I don't know how much. There's so many angles of social media and getting together and how we can communicate now. Well, if we're going to really help your listeners, and you've got that many listeners, let's see what I know about paddling in the past couple of weeks. We camped at Long Point, campground, and that's about a mile north of Sebastian Inlet. And it was great paddling. The water's clear down there. Good amount of fish. Have you paddled in that area before?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we did the 24-hour fish-a-thon for recycled fish there.
Oh, neat. Neat. And when was that?
I want to say that was in July, August, September, maybe?
Yeah.
I think it was in September.
The water's starting to... I think we've peaked with high water. I know it's been high this year, you know, in my opinion, but it's starting to drop a little bit. And those Spool Islands along the east shore of the Indian River Lagoon, just north here of Sebastian, like I said, they were holding a lot of spotted sea trout, and there were pompano in the waters too. And, you know, what I like is those giant black mullet, not the black drum,
right.
The big mullet that they have down
right.
there that time of year, and you get the roe mullet that come through, you know. But that was good paddling. And so that's the only paddling. I haven't been, you know, since the beginning of the year, I haven't been out, but I've been getting those great reports about the no motors. What other question? Now it's you know, I kind of changed speeds there, but what else is on your mind? You have any other topics? You know what? I talked to Tammy Wilson.
Right.
And Tammy's a great lady. She's a very good writer and the queen of social media when it comes to fly fishing. I don't know how long you've known her, but she was one of those first that would go on the message boards that we did back in the day, maybe 20 years ago, when people would share fishing reports or challenge someone to say, hey, meet me at the ramp tomorrow, sucker, you know, those kind of things. But,
right.
And she spearheaded this Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge cleanup that we're doing February 9th with the Anglers for Conservation's Brevard chapter. And so she wanted me to mention it, and I don't know if you have a press release there? Should we get one to you, or do you want, you know, I can tell you a little bit more about it?
Yeah, no, I actually put it on our Space Coast Kayakangler page, and I'm planning on attending that event.
Oh, that'll be great.
But feel free. Tell us about it.
Well, we need leaders like yourself, and I'll be there. Tammy will be there. There'll probably be 6 or 8 leaders, and they get with groups, and we follow. We get some training from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service folks, and we're doing it in support with the North Brevard Sportsman's Club and Keep Brevard Beautiful. And the cleanup's going to be February 9th. And what time are we starting? Because I know it's sharp here, it says. Oh, there it is, 9 a.m. sharp, and we're going to be meeting at...
Settlers.
Now, it's called the Sindler Education Outpost. There's a pavilion that's located right off State Road 3. But, you know, it's not a lot of roads out there, but it can, if you don't really understand the Space Center or the Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge, it's kind of expansive, you know?
Right.
Am I right about that? It is. It's
absolutely
an amazing piece of property, you know, and we need to protect it. What the unique thing that I've got to tell you about this, and I hope you know, people from this area are hearing this. What happened was Tammy, who has fished in 42 different states, okay, she traveled. She was here, lived in Titusville area 20 years ago, and she left. And she traveled and fished in these many, many states and got away and came back. Now, when she left here, there was a sign out by Black Point Road in the refuge, in the Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge. And it said, you know, clean up your litter, and if you don't clean it up, we're not going to let anybody park and fish here. And she took a picture of that sign. And when she came back, Chuck, bless you.
Thank you.
When she came back, Chuck, just 6 months ago or so, the sign had been replaced and saying, no fishing, no access there for her anglers. And it upset her so much, she says, okay, Rodney, what? She writes for Anglers for Conservation's newsletter. And
right.
Tammy said, what can we do? And we started talking about it. And I said, well, let's get some circle of influence out there at the Merritt Island National Wildlife. Let's clean up. So it's, you know, it's being proactive. And
I think it's sad that there's so many people that utilize not only the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge, but the entire lagoon system, and won't take the time to stop and pick up a couple of pieces of trash they see, you know, along the way. I think just even that little bit would help so much, you know?
Well, hearing you say that, bravo to you, and it's a different world, man. I mean, there was a time when you were supposed to pick up your trash. But now we got to understand that we're living in a weirder world, and we got to take a bag with us, and sometimes we got to pick other people's trash up. But, and you know what? I could go on and on with this because, we got to be proactive because for some reason people just don't understand that they're being pigs, right?
Yep.
And we could sit around and complain about it forever, but we're going to have to do some other things to get around that. And I guess the best way to, you know, we can talk the talk, but Tammy Wilson said, let's go walk the walk. And she said, February 9th, let's go out and clean up that Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge. And then what's really exciting is that the partnership that she's forming out there with the volunteer coordinator, Nancy Coronado, I think is her name. I probably blew that one. We're going to do a Hook Kids on Fishing program out there April 27th correlation with the National Wildlife Park Services. And they're going to open up a freshwater lake out there that hasn't been fished for a long time. Supposedly, we'll catch some fish in it, and the kids will love it, you know. And we typically have done We've done some of our Hook Kids on Fishing programs at Sands Point Park in Titusville.
Yep, Sands Point Park in Titusville there.
Which is a great place, but it's nice to be able to move it out there on the refuge, and we'll see how that works. So it's just a couple of things that are going on. We've also certain workshops that we're doing between on Wednesday's the first one here in Satellite Beach, and we'll end up down in Jupiter Beach probably in early April. So we're doing these surf fishing workshops, and part of the proceeds from the workshops go to support our Hook Kids on Fishing programs. And starting March 30th, I'm throwing a whole bunch of stuff out here, but you might, you know, some listening from some of the places that we'll be doing some of these events, from March 30th to April 27th, we do the Anglers for Conservation around the state of Florida. We'll do 13 Hook Kids on Fishing programs. The first one's down in Key West, March 30th. And then by the time we get to April 27th, we'll be closing out with that event out there at the Merritt Island National Wildlife Refuge. We'll have one at Port Canaveral, and if I'm not mistaken, Punta Gorda on the west, the east side of Charlotte Harbor. And we've been doing one over there for, you know, probably 6 years now. We'll be in Tarpon Springs and Apopka and Hope Sound and, you know, kids and the parents about conservationally minded. I've been talking too much. I'm sorry.
No, not at all, man. I trust me, Roddy. Listen, buddy. When I got a hold of you, I knew what I was getting myself into, brother.
Okay.
It's not a big thing. I used to enjoy our conversations when you come in at Fisherman's World or Handler or whatever. So, but I heard that you've got yourself one a seminar of sorts coming up over at the Boaters Exchange in Rockledge.
Oh yeah, with Nick. Yeah, and pardon me, hold on one second. Nick and Paul over there and Jerry and their whole crew, just great folks. I mean, I've been very blessed with the Coastal Angler magazine to have franchises all over the United States, and haven't traveled to every one of them, but went to a lot of them. And we had more boat dealers like the people at Boaters Exchange. I mean that sincerely. Not that boat dealers are bad anywhere, great folks, but you know, more just like them. They're just know how to treat their customers, and they're really good representatives of the outdoor boating, recreational boating. And that's not because I'm going to be speaking, it's just the way I feel, you know. I'm going to do a Smart in the Surf seminar. It'll probably be about an hour. And I could get you that date.
Please do.
It's coming up in early, I think in February, like the 5th or something like that. Yeah. So, yes, it is. It's the 5th at 6 p.m., and it's going to be Smart in the Surf. And we have a surf fishing clinic, well, workshop that I was talking about in Satellite Beach on Wednesday, and I think that's full. But, gosh, it looks like the surf fishing is going to be great. There's, the water's actually getting a little too warm for the Pompano now, and I'm worried that they're going to run north around the Cape again, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, the surf fishing here, and a lot of people, you know, it's hard to appreciate what you got until you look around and you see what other people got. And when it comes to our surf fishing, here on Brevard, and I mean in all of Florida's East Coast, but particularly the Indian River Lagoon Coast, and the diversity of the fishing, the accessibility that you can fish year round. And look, here's January, and look what the weather's like, right?
Right.
It's just, yeah, it's just incredible. And we've been very fortunate with it. I think it's going to be just like kayaking and paddle fishing in general has really taken off in the last few years, I believe, surf fishing. And it's been huge, like you said, what you said, you came down from the Long Island area.
Yeah, I was a child. I mean, I was, I think, 8 years old when we moved down here.
Well, it's been huge up there, and it's been big in Florida forever, too. But I think it's going to continue in popularity and growth, and particularly the paddle side of it. I mean, it's challenging. You know, if you in Hawaii now, people are paddling. They're using paddle boards and they're using windsurfers to troll offshore for pelagics.
Yeah. Yeah, we've actually got a friend of the network who's caught mahi. He's caught I actually know a guy who caught a marlin out of this kayak. Tunas and such. Yeah, it's the guys down in South Florida are doing it all the time now.
Yeah, I mean, and you wouldn't have thought that a short time ago, you know. But we've got those. You know, we're just so lucky and to have that along here and along our Florida coast, and it's just one of the best places in the world. And the reason there's really particular reasons for that, there's the number one reason is the Gulf Stream, because the way the coast runs and the way the Gulf Stream runs north and south is that as our coast starts going back out to the east and the Gulf Stream gets closer to the shore, it makes the Indian River Lagoon coast from the north to the south end of the lagoon go from a temperate area to a semi-tropical area to where you get to Jupiter Beach and you're you can call it tropical the majority of the time. And, of course, the Gulf Stream's got a lot to do with that. And And because of that diversity in habitat, because of the different regions that you're in, when it just we have more species. It's unfortunate. On the downside is that we don't have as much habitat as we used to have. And seagrasses are going to be a real challenge to keep up with. We need more seagrass. And every time we see efforts to get more seagrass in the future, we'll see more fish. You know, we had the net ban we fought really hard for in 94. Well, the next step will be bring in and restore habitat like seagrass and clam beds and, you know, that kind of thing.
Hopefully. Well,
do we have to stop for a commercial here now?
No, man, there's no commercial breaks here on Catfish. Yeah, but I will push another button. I could push a button. Stand by. Hold on. Let's see what I got. I'll hit a, wait, lost it. Got it. Stand by.
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you know, Steve, I got to hand it to him. He's a great, I mean, that's a wonderful commercial.
Besides that we got the city wrong, but it's a great commercial nonetheless.
Well, you know,
the man with the $1 million voice.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that, you know, and it's funny, and everybody wants to laugh. I mean, and then to bring the people here, and the way we're going to protect more of our habitat, and the way we're going to protect the parks, because just because they're parks today don't mean they're going to be parks tomorrow. Wake up, people, right?
Right.
The way we have to do it is one thing, like you said, is clean up after ourselves and other people. I'm sorry, we're going to have to do it. That's the price we pay. We're going to have to be the biggest stewards out there, and people are going to have to say, those people in the kayaks and canoes and the people that go fishing in those shallow water fishing boats and the people that go, all of those anglers, what conservationally minded people, and they know how to treat birds. You know, they help birds. They get caught in line, and they understand they have to clean up their mess. What a great group. That's one thing we're going to have to do, is we're going to have to be the leaders in conservation to protect our access to land. And then also we're going to have to bring in an economical, like what you are doing there. You know, people come in, the hotelers get people to rent, you know, to buy their rooms, and the restaurants get money for the people that come in, and they're all kayakers. That's a great thing to happen here on our Space Coast. So you don't really need to give yourselves a big pat on the back on that.
Yeah. I do every day. No, I'm kidding.
Good. No, but yeah, I mean, really, you know. Yeah, I think we got to be, you know, there's one thing to be proud, and there's another thing to be smug. And there, you know, and if you'd have to change a lot, Chuck, to be smug. So.
Yeah,
you're not
I
even close
that,
to smug, dude. You don't even know smug. You know, so.
I don't even know smug.
No, but it happens, you know, people do get jaded and they forget, you know, we should be very proud that we get to go and spend time outdoors, because more and more people are doing it virtually. And excuse me, I know we're on the phone now and we're talking in that virtual world on the computer and all that, but so us that go out and do it and live this lifestyle, like I said, I was surfing this afternoon. I was on, I mean, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but I live my lifestyle, you know. It's not, and to be able to say that, it's worth the price to be a volunteer. It's worth the price to get on a soap stand on a radio show when you don't even know who might be listening and say,
hug a tree. Hug a tree, you know, and pick up somebody else's trash.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, it's true. You know, and in fact, I was kind of angered at myself on Saturday. There's been a crab trap that's been laying on a flat in the lagoon now for probably 2.5 years, and I pass it almost every time I go to this one flat, and I always tell myself on the way back I'm going to grab it, throw it in the kayak, and bring it back up. And every time I come back, I usually come back either a little bit north of where that crab trap's located or a little bit south of where that crab trap is located.
Say that 10 times really fast.
Yeah, really. And and I always seem to forget it, you know. And this last time I looked over and I saw it and I was like, oh, man, there it is. You know, it's only probably a few hundred yards away. And, man, I'm whooped. I don't know that I can make it over to grab it this go around. It's been there for 2.5 years. I'll grab it next time I come out. But I'm definitely, you know, it definitely things like that. And then, you know, people paddle past that same obstruction all the time and never think to grab it. You know, I mean, we're actually going to try and organize a real quick cleanup over in Cars Park in the no motor zone on the east. I mean, on the west side along the mangrove trees there, because there's stuff that blows in, whether it be off of the cruise ship terminals or whatever, that land in the water in the Banana River and by way of eastern winds make their way over to the trees. So we definitely need to go through there and pick up, you know, as much as we can. But, you know, when we go to the islands, my family and I, we'll take our son, my wife and I will take our son Trey to the islands there in the Indian River. And we usually come back with more than what we went there with. If we find stuff, you know, we've taught him that we definitely bring everything we went out there with back. Plus, if we find anything else, we usually bring it back as well. So, but, you know, and it just takes a conscious effort. That's all it is. And that's one of the reasons why we did the 24-hour fish-a-thon for recycled fish. It was to raise awareness and raise some funds to be able to help to protect some areas. And then also, too, for us, we wanted to show everybody that while you're out there fishing, it's not a big deal to collect some trash, because that's one of the things that we had to do. So in doing so, staying awake for 24 hours straight in a kayak, which was not easy, we went out and raised a bunch of money, and the money is going towards us getting some reusable trash bags that we'll be passing out, hopefully, at the Boondoggle. So looking forward to that, little, you know, trash kits and pickup kits and cleanup kind of pamphlets, like what your small contribution of a one bag of trash does to the ecosystem if you do it every time you hit the airwaves. So
yeah, and then, you know, when you're talking about bags, right? Trash bags, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can even go the other way with the bag, and you can say, and then you fill one bag, you don't empty another, and the other bag you don't empty is the fertilizer that you put on your lawn, because it's insecticides and fertilizer and pesticides, and not taking away from what you're doing, because we know we got to clean up the trash, and every bit of stewardship that you can promote, and like you're doing with those events, that'll work. But we're going to have to people are going to have to understand that they live 5 miles away from the lagoon, and they're part of the watershed, and what they put on their lawn, sooner or later, not everyone, but sooner or later, the people that are using these pesticides and chemicals and fertilizers, they have to understand that they end up in our drinking water, and they end up in our springs, and they end up in our lagoons. And septic tanks, which are also influence this stuff too, we're going to have to do more to clean those up. And it's difficult because Florida was all about building, you know, and I get it. I was born and raised in Florida, so I get it, you know. And the construction industry is huge in Florida.
Right.
But maybe we can go in and start changing the way we build and the way we do things in the infrastructure, so that we don't have septic tanks that are seeping into our groundwater, and we don't have springs. I mean, we're talking about kayaking the lagoon, but you and I know, and your listeners know, a lot of people take the St. John's River, for instance, you know, paddling on the river compared to how it would have been 30 or 40 years ago. going to Blue Springs or Alexander Springs or Juniper Springs compared to how it was 30 years ago, and you can see marked changes, and it's all about humans. And,
yeah.
You know, but on the positive side, we're still really lucky. There's a lot of great fishing, and there's a lot of time good things that we are doing on the positive side. So you can't, you know, I know that you can't always talk about the bad stuff that's going on. And because 95% of the people are, you know, I think 99% of the people really want to do the right thing, and they will do the right thing. Hey, speaking of a right thing, I've got in May we're going to make a decision, and we've been talking about it for a while, a canoe kayak trip from the north end of the Indian River Lagoon to the south end of the Indian River Lagoon, and we were thinking about doing it in December of this year.
Huh.
So it's not an open invitation yet. And I haven't let the cat completely out of the bag, but I know it's going to be May when we sit down and say, okay, how long would this take and what kind of commitment it is, you know. So I think that would be an interesting one. Maybe we could call you as we go along on the trip. And,
absolutely.
You know, maybe put your any of your logos or that kind of thing on our canoe and kayak. I'm not sure, you know, how many people we're going to do it with, but it would be to highlight the Indian River Lagoon and the great resource that it still is. And you know, well, let's see here. It's almost. I guess you have, like you said, you have listeners listening from anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, man, we got a pretty good following from all over the place. I mean, we're streaming live on the internet, live on our two different mobile device apps, and then also to just the podcast people can listen to as well off of the. I'm having a hard time tonight. Off of what you call it, iTunes. Thank you.
Oh,
so,
iTunes.
Yep.
I think everybody knows about them.
There, so.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Well,
your interview with me if you'd like after the show.
yeah, you can. What do you think, Chuck? You think I'm going to do it?
Yeah, you probably will.
No.
Roddy, listen, man.
I'd love to have that.
Yeah, just pull it right off the whip.
Oh,
I appreciate your time,
cool.
Brother. Listen, do me a favor.
Yeah, thank you.
If anybody wants to get involved with Anglers for Conservation or they want to check out any of your books or the maps that you've done, give them a resource or a few website plugs where they can go and kind of get a hold of you or you know, find out more what they can do to help out.
Well, my email address is very easy. It's irlcoast@gmail.com. And IRL is Indian River Lagoon, IRL Coast, and @gmail.com. And, of course, you can go to anglersforconservation.org, and you can find out about our 13 Hook Kids on Fishing programs that are going around the state of Florida, you know, from the last weekend in March to the last weekend in April. And that's in celebration of Fish Earth Week, you know, and we extended it for a month this year, so I guess it's just Fish Earth Day for a month. And thanks for your time and being there and your commitment to conservation and paddling in Florida and fishing in the outdoors, Chuck. And you need I look forward to talking to you again. It's been way too long, and I'm so glad I finally made it on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right.
Hooray.
All right. Hey, listen, for everybody needs a surf report. It's 2-3 foot out there, nice and glassy in the morning. High tide early, low tide in the middle of the day. Thanks a lot. This is from Light Beach. This is Captain Rodney Smith signing out.
Thanks,
see brother. Ya. See ya.
Cool. I didn't think I was going to get interviewed on my own show tonight. That was interesting. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, now Roddy Smith is a great guy, and any of you guys that are
wanting to get some more information on anything that Roddy's been involved in, like I say, his book, Enjoying Life on the Indian River Lagoon Coast, is a good one. I've read through it a number of times, and it's a really, really good read. The Catching Made Easy maps that he's done for the Brevard County area for surf fishing. If you're going to surf fish here in Brevard County and you don't have those maps, you need to go and get them. They're really, really good resources. It's just nice to know people like Rodney. I mean, he is a really, really good ambassador of what we should all strive to be more like as far as protecting the resources and whatnot. So, pretty cool. How much, Chuck, could a redfish chuck? Thanks a lot, Wade. Go break off another fish in Philly. I'm not going to hang it up just yet. I want to get into a couple more things real fast before we get off here tonight. And one of the things, of course, is the boondoggle. Very excited about the boondoggle. If anybody has any questions pertaining to the boondoggle, as I found out at our Space Coast Kayak Angler meeting at Kayaks by Bo on Saturday night, if you didn't attend and you're local, shame on you. There was a lot of questions. People had a lot of questions about what's going on with the boondoggle. So feel free. I do check my email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com, to send me an email regarding the boondoggle. If you have any comments, concerns, or suggestions or whatnot, I'd like to announce here on the show that we did get a couple of new sponsors for our door prizes. So that's pretty awesome. Dragonfly Paddle Sports has agreed to donate a stand-up paddle. So if anybody's in need of a stand-up paddle, it would be one of those to be given away. I heard it's pretty awesome looking. And then what else did we get? We got, I believe, we also got, there's a couple things. I think we got a quasi-guarantee from like three or four more clothing manufacturers. Steve Chapman and Mike Ortego and Boudreaux are going to hook us up from Fish in Florida Radio. I know that they said there'll be a pair of coasters to be given away, a fishing reel to be given away. There'll be a bunch of other stuff as well. I think Red Zone Clothing Apparel maybe donating some stuff. Alan kind of hooked that up, so I appreciate that, Alan. Alan's coming through in a big way to help me out with the boondoggle. And trust me, brother, at this stage of the game, I appreciate the help. Mike Ortego, don't forget, folks, you're running out of time. If you come down to Florida for the boondoggle and you don't have a tackle webs on your kayak, then you're not going to be eligible for the big fish payoff or big fish, what's the word I'm looking for? Bounty. Thank you. So make sure you get yourself tackle webs. Add it to your Chip, come on, buddy. There's a website I think you can probably order one off of, tacklewebs.com, or there's a place called Kayaks by Bo in Titusville that sells them as well. I don't know who sells them in Atlanta. Mike, are you paying attention there in the chat room? See, do you have an Atlanta dealer? I don't know. But so that we got that going on. Don't forget, we also have RCI Optics is giving away a pair of their glasses. It's going to be a pretty cool deal. Scavenger hunt style. You have to go out and try and find whatever token, tag, flag, whatever it is that they stick out somewhere in the no motor zone. Whoever finds it and comes back with it will get a pair of RCI Optic glasses, which are sick. Retail value of about $239. Pretty cool. Don't forget, we also have some tool sets that have been donated. It's for Menly Man in the group. We might need some more tools. That'd be pretty sweet. If anybody finds a set of keys or a Kodak Play Sport, you get another prize. prize. That's Alan's keys in his play sport he lost a while back. Don't look for my buoy. It won't be there. I'm going to go procure that buoy, hopefully here shortly. Bring it back to the Levi household as a yard ornament. Yeah, free truck. Yeah, if you find the truck keys, you get the truck. No dealer in Atlanta, Mike says. So just contact Mike. Send him an email. I'm sure that we can work out a way to get you tacos before you get here. Going to move. Yeah. Anyway, so also, too, yes. Right next to the crab truck. Yeah. Anyway, folks, real quick, I'm also working on trying to get a deal set up with one of the local tackle shops, the one in Merritt Island called Handler Fishing Supply. I'll be contacting my good friend Adrian to let him know that I'm interested in him doing something for us, see if he'll be interested in doing something for us as well. So that if you're at Cars Park and you need some tackle, you just forgot something or somebody caught something on something you don't have or whatever, it's a short run into Merritt Island, about 15, 20 minutes into Merritt Island. Really nice tackle shop, really good staff. So we'll see what we can do there. And then other than that, I mean, it's status quo. Fisher Report, real quick, inshore, along the beaches. Plenty of bluefish to be had. There's been a bunch of, what can we do? Oops, standby. What can we do about live bait for the boondoggle? Well, it depends on what kind of live bait you're looking for. If you want shrimp or something like that, there's a couple of tackle shops that are out in Port Canaveral. The one that I'm going to suggest you shop at will be Sunrise Marina. That's the only bait shop that's left in Port Canaveral that I would endorse. So take that for what it's worth. And then they've got all the shrimp needs and stuff like that. If you're going to head on up to the Mosquito Lagoon, you've got four bait shops in Titusville right there by the intersection of Garden Street and US 1, which is the road that you're going to turn on to go out to the lagoon. So that'll be that. But what I'm going to also plan on having, too, by the way, is for everybody who shows up, I'm going to try and have a map of different bait shops and different locations where you can go and launch and fish and that kind of thing. There is a map that is available through the Wildlife Refuge that I'm going to try and get a couple stacks of those maps that are peel-off style maps. They just kind of pull off a big tab of maps and have those available at the check-in at the camp store. So for everyone who comes to Cars Park, you can walk up to the desk and pull one of those off, and there you go. And if you need finger mullet, if you own a, if you own a cast net, feel free to bring it. You can throw it from mullet and that kind of thing. Depending upon what time it is, you may, depending upon how cool it is. God, I'm tired. Cut bait may be all you'll ever need to throw. I wish I had some cut bait the other day, to be honest with you, and I'm not a bait thrower, but if we had some decent-sized mullet to chunk up, man, we would have destroyed the redfish even more so than we already did. So that's that. Yes, Alan there in the chat room brings up a good point. We had a conversation at the meeting, Special Sky Kingler meeting, about maybe having a couple of guys volunteer to take small groups of people to different areas and show them around, kind of, where other places you can fish besides just in a motor zone, whether it be the lagoon, the Thousand Islands, and that kind of thing. And that will be available to some extent. I'm not really sure how many guys are going to step up and do that, but I think we'll have a sign-up list. And once the list is signed up, once it's full, it's full. We'll put a cap on how many people these guys are going to take with them. And there you go. It should be pretty good. But, yeah, any other questions you may have about Cars Park, the boondoggle, whatever, feel free to let me know. Wonder what my chances of getting a tarpon is. Well, if you're expecting to come down here and get a monster tarpon, pretty small. If you want to go out and catch yourself just a ditch tarpon, a juvenile, you may be able to run into those. There's been a few of them hanging around still. I just did a little recon the other day and found a nice area where there's some small ones rolling around. So there's definitely an opportunity to catch tarpon of some size. Snook as well. So, you know, it is a relatively warm winter down here, so I wouldn't put it past it. But, yeah, if you're going to go out and fish down here in the local area anytime in the near future, I would say, now is when I can show people. Yeah. Anyway, you're going to fish in the local area. Get up early. Don't sleep in. It doesn't make any sense. And get out there on the water. Take your time. Look for moving fish. Look for pushes. Look for wakes. Look for tails. I would throw a little bit of stink juice on just about anything you're going to throw right now just to kind of get the fish's attention, especially if they're tailing. The grass has been a little bit thick, so when you see these fish tailing, think of how this fish is positioned and how deep the grass is. So, it'll be pretty good. You should have no problem finding fish. The trout bite's been pretty good. The black drum bite's been picking up a little bit in the Indian River. There's been some flounder caught down around Sebastian Inlet. Been really good. The freshwater bite for you low sodium folks or no sodium folks has been really, really good as well. Lots of guys catching shad, some crappie, panfish of all kinds, and the bass, of course. So get out there and get it done. And that's about all I got, folks. Why don't you take a seat right over here? Get her done. That's what I said. I'm probably owe Larry the Cable Guy $100,000 now for saying that. But thank you for everybody for joining me here in the chat room. Backcast AC Show, Black Fly Guy, Captain X Crew, Chasing Reds, all the guests. You guys could sign in next time using your Facebook account or your Twitter account. Join the buffoonery, which is normally the chat room for the Try and Get Chuck to Laugh show. Heavy Metal Fishing, what else? We got Engineer, Wade, Captain Breakoff, Captain Mike Ortigo, Tom, and Kayaks by Bo joining us there in the chat room. Appreciate it, buddy. Don't forget, folks, too, if you're coming down for the boondoggle and you need a kayak to rent, make sure that you give Tom a call because I think we're running out quickly. So give us a shout there at the shop. And find us on the web, kayaksbylow.com. And then Tommy Head Jigs, R. Lee, Yak Groupie. Appreciate it, as always, everybody's support for the show. And look forward to talking to you guys next weekend. Hopefully we'll have another guest on. I'm trying to line it up, so I won't say anything until it happens. But I definitely want to thank all of my sponsors who make what I do possible. Kayaks by Bo, of course. They're located there in Titusville. We are pretty much your ultimate kayak fishing destination in Central Florida. What else? We got my new sponsor for this year, Orca Coolers. Super excited about that. Check them out, orcacoolers.com. Of course, Jackson Kayaks, Tackle Webs, Captain Mike Ortigo. He's the man. Bending Branches Paddles. Bloody Decks, YakAngler.com, and the list goes on and on and on, and I'm done. So tune in tomorrow night to the All Ladies Review over there on the Double Elf Show. So that should be interesting. I'm sure they're going to put on a fantastic show. I think Melita's a little nervous. So if 50 people show up in the chat room, let's try and make that happen. She may get cold feet and back out. So make sure to call in that show. But anyways, it's going to be a good time, 8 o'clock, simulcasted from not only Virginia Beach but also Jacksonville. That'll be interesting. And then Wednesday night we got Mark Wheeler, and then Thursday night, of course, Chip Gibson. And that's it. Chip, thanks for being my my call screener tonight, man. I appreciate it very much. And to everybody else who's out there listening to the show, whether it be by podcast, here live on the show or in the chat room, and then also on our apps. Continue to support us. We appreciate it. We can't do it without you guys. And, yeah, look forward to seeing you guys all at the Boon Dizzle. Then we'll go out with a Yak Attack spot and then a Boondoggle spot and then my music. So take it easy. Good night. Be safe. Kid fishing. Trey, Logan, Daddy loves you. Get some sleep. See ya.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Boondoggle, Boondoggle, Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And this Saturday, don't forget, from 10 to 2, on the other side of Max Brewer Bridge there in Titusville, we are having a demo day to end all demo days. This is going to be a big event. Come on out. And hopefully we get to see one of these sweet Reapers and one of the Hummers from Central Florida Reaper. If you don't know what a Reaper is, go to Facebook. Look up Central Florida Reaper. It's an electric car that looks like a little dune buggy. It's street legal. It does 45 miles an hour. It's pretty awesome. We're going to have them at both the Boondoggle, and I'll be driving one around, I think, for about a week. So that'll be awesome. Check it out. See you guys. Take it easy.
See you guys.